Good morning. Good morning. See everyone out this morning. I'd like to welcome any visitors we have to New Harmony Baptist Church. Just make yourself at home. Looking forward to the day. It is casual day, and I know we always have our bucket back there that you can give to student ministry, so remember that. And just a lot of prayer requests on our heart this morning. Ask y'all continue to remember my mother, and she's been having a rough time this week. Remember Abby, she'll be going for some tests at the end of the week, and I've been giving her a lot of fits, and she gets 2 days out of school, so I really don't understand what's so bad about the whole deal, but she'll be busy Thursday, so y'all just pray for her. But I know we have many others. We have any prayer requests that I'm looking over? Jane texted me yesterday and said that Jackie got a good report from the surgeon, actually has been released from the surgeon. So that's good news, and he is continuing rehab, and she has went back to work. So y'all be much in prayer for them. We still need our prayers, as Jackie, I know it'll be a long time getting over this. He's had a tough time, so can you remember him? Do we have any more?
I'm having epidural Wednesday.
Remember that. Any others? I know we have Kay back with us this morning. She had a little procedure done, but I found out that it's never little when it's you. I had a knee surgery done. Stephanie said to hear me tell it was the worst one in history, but everybody else, it just really wasn't much to it.
Case study, right there.
But it was pretty bad. I'll tell you about it sometime if you ask me. But do we have any more prayer requests?
We need to remember the flood victims.
Yes. I saw that. A lot of destruction in Texas. I read where Franklin Graham was sending Samaritan's Purse. They was on their way yesterday, or maybe been Saturday. I mean, Friday they was on their way. But they do a great work. Remember them and pray for them. And, of course, the Red Cross volunteers. I saw on Atlanta News last night where they're headed down. A lot of cleanup, a lot of need for water and different things. So if you can support and give to that, I know they would appreciate it. But we all can pray for them. Going out can give. May not have any extra give, but we can definitely pray for them. Anybody else? Have any unspoken? Amen. Have no other prayer requests. Rudy, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to come to your house. I thank you for each and every member that's here. Father, I thank you for an opportunity to come to you and worship and praise you. God, we just give you the honor and glory for it all. Father, I just ask that the Holy Spirit will move amongst us. You have the words to say, and Lord, I just pray that it pricks our heart. We want to know more about you. We want to understand you more. Father, we just give our all to you. God, Father, just bless us as we present the music. In Christ's name, we pray.
Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Yeah.
You was under a rock somewhere. Knew that we had a solar eclipse Monday, and I saw someone post one of the best things I have seen about it. Said for just a few minutes, 2 minutes and 40 seconds, all the world forgot about what color they was and what was going on here, and everybody looked up. And that's what we should do every day. You know, and I began thinking of everyone made a big deal about it, and it was something not come around every day, but I got to thinking, it gets dark every day. And some people bought glasses and done different things, but I promise you tonight about 7:30, go outside and it'll start. And but God's great, and he knows how to bring people together. And for just a few minutes, wouldn't it nice not to have to listen to all that's going on in the country? We got to, and the only thing negative I've seen out of it is Stephanie said it was someone posted where people's going to the doctor for putting sunblock in their eyes. So, and I've heard it was around Auburn. I better get started before I'm mumbling. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn over to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 4. As most of y'all knew, I preached a funeral Monday over at Rock Springs for Brother Greg Kimbrell. Young guy, was 50 years old, passed away. And Greg was saved in a revival at Rock Springs back in the 80s when he was a young man. And his dad wanted the pastor, or the preacher that was preaching revival, to preach part of the message to him. I thought it was a great idea. That guy was preaching when he come to the Lord, and that preacher, of course, didn't know Greg very well now, but he began talking, and I gained a lot of knowledge from that old guy. He was, he said of himself, he was old when he got up. He said, I'm so old that there's turtles and trees don't live as long as I have. And I got to thinking, I know some of those. But he said some very, very simple but profound things in his message, and it stuck with me. And I've heard one of my Bible school teachers at we go to Bible college there, says that he's a gospel thief. If you don't want him stealing it and preaching it, don't preach it in front of him. So that's kind of how I am this morning. But if I had a title to the message, it would be Get the Root. Get the Root. This guy said something I had told one or two of y'all in here. It's one of those deals that you were so excited you had to tell somebody about what the Lord had shown you through this man. You cannot, I know we tend to look over older preachers and pastors, but as just in any other profession, you can't beat experience. Amen. Those guys have been there. He's weathered the storms. But he said something that I thought on all week, and it's so simple, but yet it's so profound. He said we spend a lot of times in our churches and in our homes, in our schools and in all other buildings, trying to get rid of cobwebs. We'll take brooms and we'll pull them down. Why don't we go after the spider? Man. Boy, I thought about that this week. And I thought about that. Why don't we go after the spider? All of us have cobwebs in our homes, physically speaking. They're hanging up in the corners. Before someone comes over, y'all tell the truth. You take your broom and you swipe them down before visitors come. We do that. Or Stephanie does. Somebody does it. But we all have cobwebs, but we never think about trying to go after the spider. I began thinking about this. In our churches and in our nation, we've never seen a time that sin is so prevalent. We've come up with all kinds of solutions for all the symptoms. For all the symptoms of it, we've got all these different things. How do you deal with alcoholism? How do you deal with drug abuse? How do you deal with the divorce rate is soaring? How do you deal with all those things? Surely we must have counselors to deal with the ones who's hurting from the trouble. And surely we must have counselors deal with the alcoholics, the drug addicts, and all this stuff. Well, bless God, has anybody ever thought about preaching and teaching against the sin? We haven't for a long time. We've let it go in our churches. Stephanie was telling, she didn't tell me this to Sunday school this morning, but she was saying she had a patient that come in with a shirt on from a bigger church, and she mentioned the shirt and said, how do you like it there? And she said, well, there's no judgment like there are in those small Alabama churches. Had no idea that we was from a small Alabama church. And somehow another come up about what I do, and Stephanie said I was a pastor of a small church. And then she said, well, all churches ain't that way, just those in Alabama. And then she said, where's he pastor? And she said, Heflin, Alabama. So have you ever put your foot in your mouth? But listen, we ain't judging this morning. There's no judgment. The Word of God teaches us that who the real judge is God. But listen, if you preach this Word of God the way it should be preached and the way it should be taught, I promise you something. According to its own self, it says it's a two-edged sword. When I read this and when I study it, it cuts me because guess what? I'm a sinful being. I have sinful desires. I have sinful pleasures we like to fulfill. But And then when I read it and God's words cuts me, and then he gives me the message and I give it out to you, and then it cuts you. It's two edges. It cuts going in. It cuts going out. So I'm not being mean this morning, but I'm not going to apologize for anything I preach. We're going to simply old-fashioned preach against sin this morning. It's missing from our churches, y'all. It's missing from a bunch of places in our land. But surely where sin ought to be preached against today is in the churches. We preach against all the things that come from sin. Let's get the root. Let's get this thing and get it out of the way. If you turn to Genesis chapter number 4, verse 1 through 7, there's a tale of two brothers. The very first brother's even fault. Boy, that gave me some little help today, knowing that our girls wasn't the first siblings who ever had a quarrel what they call it, intense discussion or all, whatever you want to say. But listen, we know the story of Cain and Abel. And in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, it says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth," or angry, "and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, or why are you angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, we thank you for the ones you've sent here this morning. God, it's not a coincidence they're here. They're here because that's where you had them to be at this point in time. God, I pray that you give me the words to preach and you open our hearts and minds. And Lord, let us see what the root of the problem is. It's been there since that fall in the garden, Father. It's there. And there's only one cure for it, and that's your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, may we preach him and him glorify today and nothing else. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So we see that immediately out of the process of time, the Bible says that Adam and Eve had two sons, Cain and Abel. One was a shepherd, he kept sheep, and one was a farmer, he tilled the ground. And there come a time that, you see, Adam and Eve, I believe, had gotten so used to communion with God, with worship of God, they taught it to their children. Yes, they was expelled from the garden, but listen, they spent a time, I don't know how much time, but they spent a certain amount of time in their lives of being completely perfect and in a completely pure relationship with God. They knew what true worship was. And I believe they began teaching that to their children, and they saw that the sacrifice had to be made. When they sinned, that God killed the animal and clothed them with that blood sacrifice, they knew that they must be a sacrifice made for their sins. So it come a time when these offerings was to be brought, and the Bible says that each brother brought his own sacrifice, and it said that God accepted the one and rejected the other. Now, I've heard this preached many different ways. I've heard it taught many different ways, but there's nobody that really knows for certain why God rejected, but one thing we know of why he rejected. We don't know that the Bible does teach we must have a blood sacrifice, and we believe that. But if you read on down through Scripture, in the days of Moses, God would accept grain and different sacrifices such as that. So today I want you to understand something. It wasn't because he might not have brought the same kind of sacrifice that Abel brought, but the reason that the sacrifice was not accepted was because of his heart. Amen. Because of his heart. Listen here, we all have a problem, and this same old preacher I told you about, man, he affected my life this week. I had known this man for many years. I heard his name all the time. His name is Darnell Teal. I've heard him talked about. I've been in a church service with him, but the things he said was just so simple, and I try to make things so hard. He began telling when he was up there preaching after he told the great spider story, and I thought, man, this guy's a genius. He went a little bit further. He said, y'all had a problem with my eyes one time. He said, I had a problem with my eyes, and I went to the doctor. His name was Dr. Law. I said, Dr. Law, there's something wrong with my eyes. They look at images they shouldn't look at. They look at wrong things, God. They read wrong things. Dr. Law said, looked in my eyes. He said, there's nothing wrong with your eyes. He said, is there anything else wrong? He said, yeah, Dr. Law, I've been having a problem with my hands. They handle things that's not godly. They handle things that's not right, and they do things, Dr. Law, that's not right. What is wrong with my hands? Dr. Law looked at his hands and said, there's nothing wrong with your hands. They're perfect. He said, is there anything else bothering you? He said, yes, my feet. My feet take me places I shouldn't go. They take me into things I shouldn't be in. Dr. Law, can you look at my feet? He said he pulled his shoes off. Dr. Law looked and said, your feet is perfect. He said, well, something's wrong with me. What's the problem? Dr. Law said, you have a problem. You have a sickness. It's in your heart, and it's terminal. It's terminal. He said, oh, Dr. Law, what can be done? He said, son, there's nothing I can do for you. He said, but right across the hall is Dr. Grace. Think about that today. He said, right across the hall is Dr. Grace. And he's got all the answers for the trouble of the heart. Now listen, I understand in the Old Testament is about law, and the New Testament is about Jesus Christ. But listen, this Old Testament shows us that we're lost. It shows us, the Bible says it's a schoolmaster letting us know where we're wrong. We must preach this in the Old Testament and the New. And you can see Jesus Christ from Genesis all through Revelations. Boy, you see Jesus right here in the story of Cain and Abel. So they brought their sacrifice here. One was accepted, one not. Bible scholar said that how they knew it was accepted was one was probably taken up by fire. God sent down the fire and took that sacrifice, and the other one was just left laying there. And the Bible said that Cain's countenance was sad. It was wrath. He was mad at it. He was upset at God. I have met people today who are upset at God because God didn't accept this of them, or God didn't accept that, or God did this what I didn't think was right, or God did this what I thought was wrong. Listen to me today. God is God, and beside him there's none other. He makes the decisions. He makes the rules. I don't get to, but listen, his countenance was off. God told him, he says, what's wrong with you, boy? If you would have done the same thing your brother done, if you would have came with the same heart, you would have been accepted also. But the Bible says something here that I love. It says that sin lieth at the door. Now listen, I don't love sin, but I love this. When I began looking up that word sin, you realize this, in the Greek and Hebrew, that same word in the original text that they got that they translated into our English Bible, that same word that they took sin from, also means exactly the same thing as sin offering. When God shows us their sin, bless God, he shows us a sin offering. So God was telling Cain right here. He said, Cain, sin lieth at the door, but also a sin offering lieth there for you also. You should be able. But listen to what it says here. We got to understand something. There was a problem. The problem was with his heart. The problem was with his heart. It wasn't a problem with his sacrifice. It was a problem with his heart. And I began thinking, God, what does that have to do? What does Genesis chapter 4 of Cain and Abel have to do with our church in a small town in Heflin, Alabama today? What has it got to do with it? Now listen, there's the same thing that some of us come in here this morning because we believe it's what we're supposed to do on Sundays. We get up and we come to church. But let me ask you today, how is your heart? Yes, you made a sacrifice of your time to come to the house of God. And yes, you may have done this, and you may could be on the lake, and you may could be doing this and that. But listen, God's not, the Bible says that he's pleased with obedience, not so much sacrifice. How is your heart today? How is your heart condition? Are you in the shape that Abel was in where he came thankful and realizing that offering was given to him by God, and through God he was going to be made right? The Bible even speaks of this over in Hebrews. We'll get there in a little bit. It tells us by faith was Abel's sacrifice accepted. So there was a problem. The problem was with the heart. It's the problem we still see all throughout the world. You say, well, what's the problem? Why does people kill people in Chicago? Hey, they have a murder rate that's unbelievable. But why do they still do this? Why does marriages not last? And why does young people get into the stuff they get into? And why does old people get into the stuff they get into? Has the times changed? No, the times ain't changed. It's sin's what it is. It's always been sin. It always will be sin. And until we stand on it and proclaim it and teach people against it, it's not going to change. When we talk about it, we say, oh, preacher, you old-fashioned. You stand, you preach this. Fire and condemnation, you preach that a lost sinner will go to hell. Yes, he will, according to the Word of God. And the only way we miss hell is through Jesus Christ. That is the only way, and it always will be the only way. And it's time that we preach and we teach about this thing, and sin is a problem. Listen what else this thing does. It's a predator. Not only is it a problem, it's a predator. Do you realize what he told him here? He said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. But if you do not well, sin lieth at the door. If you've got another translation inside of King James, it probably says, croucheth like an animal. That's how this thing can be translated. It's like a crouching animal waiting to jump on somebody, waiting to attack them. I like to think of it as this, as a tiger or a lion or whatever it might be, that when you walked out the door of your house, this thing was sitting behind the shrubbery, because we got some shrubbery there. I'm always afraid a snake's going to jump out, Pat, when I go out that door. But listen, I think it's like that, waiting to jump out and get you by surprise. It's crouching at the door of your house. Let me tell you something, church. You cannot play with sin. You cannot dilly-dally with it. Now, this sin will eat you, it will destroy you, and it will kill you. The Bible teaches that sin is fun for a season, but the end of it is death. And God tells him here, he says, sin lieth at your door. If you don't accept and do well, if you don't, do you realize this, that he's all upset with God, but God has given him an opportunity right now to be made better. God's given him an opportunity to be saved. God's given him an opportunity to come back with a right heart and present that sacrifice in the right way. Now, God didn't slay him right then. And bless God, even after he was put out into the world, the Bible says, and that God put a mark upon him, and anybody that killed him would be destroyed. God's grace is amazing, y'all. Listen, this sin, like a crouched animal, is at the door. You cannot play with this thing. I know church members who say, well, listen, I can do this because this guy does this and he's a deacon, or this guy does that and he's a preacher. I'm telling you something, there's an old saying that's very profound. You play with fire, you get burned. There's no better truth than there are this. You play with sin, I promise you it might be fun for a little bit. It might be exciting. It might fill the desires of your flesh, but I promise you it will be death. It'll be death. Hey, it'll be death of your family, it can be. You go out and you deal with the sin of an affair, it can be the death of your family. Hey, you deal with the sin of alcohol and you say, oh, preacher, it ain't wrong to take one drink. You get with me and I'll show you in the Bible where it is, bless God. And you cannot become a drunkard if you don't ever take a drink. You cannot become a meth addict if you never try meth. It's impossible to do that. So you must abstain from it. And the Bible tells us to flee from even the appearance of evil. You play around with it, it's like an animal crouched at the door. You say, well, preacher, I can take one drink and go about my business. Well, bless God, you're better than about half the nation. You're better than about probably more than that. It's our number one epidemic still is alcoholism. I know it's been a favorite thing to preach about in the South for probably 200 years, and preachers have harped on it and harped on it. But listen, y'all, I come from a family who my mother had dealt with this thing as a young girl. She saw her mother beat up because of alcohol. She saw her dad in prison because of alcohol. And she taught me from a young age, now she didn't raise me in church like I should have been, but she taught me from a young age, stay away from that stuff, it'll destruct you. We have people, even church members today, who dilly-dally with this thing and think it's not going to get them, and they never see the end of this thing of them being there completely without everything in their family gone. It will destroy you. It will. Boy, it's quiet. Listen, it's not the only thing. We deal around with these relationships. We have a thing called social media today. You can get on there and you can flirt with anybody anywhere you want to. You can do that and nobody will ever know it. You say, well, preacher, it's just something to pass my time. It's just something to do this and that. And young girls get on here and they put their information on, and some sicko comes and they kill them, and different things begin happening. And listen, the problem we have is grown people get on this thing and begin talking to someone they knew in school, begin talking to someone new even, and before long this little relationship that didn't amount to anything has blew up into a full-blown affair. The wife finds out about it. The husband finds out about it. Homes are split and families are destroyed. But I just talked to her one time. I just tried it once. You cannot play around with sin. It's crouched at the door like an animal, ready to devour you. He tells him something that means a bunch to us. He says, it's like an animal crouched. Or my Bible here, it talks about life at the door. But he says something. He says, and unto thee shall it be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now listen, when that sin is crouched at the door, if you're not careful, that's all you'll desire. That's what's called addiction, y'all. That's what's called addiction, when it's all that's on your mind, it's on your heart. And we tend to look on the alcoholics and drug addicts and say, oh, them addicts are terrible. But what are me and you addicted to today? What are we addicted to? Any sin that's not right before God, it can become an addiction if we're not careful. It rules over us, and the Scripture says that you must rule over it. How can we do that? How in the world can we become rule over it? Romans tells us this. And I've lost my spot. I've got so excited. Listen, it tells us in the book of Romans there about what we should do. Because of what God has done for us, He should become our desire. But it's not all this desire of the world that we've gotten ourselves into. How many times have you heard people say, well, I wish I hadn't ever tried that. I know people that smoke cigarettes. I've heard them say, I wish I never took this first smoke. I wish I never took the first thing. Oh, if I knew it, I could do it. And I was talking to a young guy last night there in Walmart who's been over at Bible College in Florida. And we've been talking, he was talking about there's some old people in their youth Bible college. So they got some 80-year-old men down there still teaching youth, still excited about youth, and still connecting with the youth and listens to the youth's music and gets along with the youth. And boy, he said, he's just on fire. And he told me, he said, I have learned something from old people. And this young guy is about 20 years old, and I thought, man, you're way ahead of me. You're way ahead of where I was at your age. He said, I found out something. He said, not that I'm perfect, but from those old guys, I figured out how to go around a lot of things I would have went through. Listen, you need to listen to the older generation. You need to listen to the elders in the church. You need to listen to your teachers in church. You need to listen to the ones preaching, the ones trying to tell you to keep you from this. Listen, God ain't trying to keep you from sin, to shelter you and to keep you down. God is like a father. He is our Father. He's keeping you from sin to try to protect you. He realized that's animal. Is at the door and he's crouched. He's a predator. And he's ready to jump. John 10:10 tells us something. Amen. Listen to this. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to kill and destroy. I am come they may have life and have it more abundantly. That plainly tells us what the predator is and what he's up to. Here's Romans chapter 6. This is one I wanted and I missed a while ago. Listen to this. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to, obey his servants, you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that we the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which has delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. Speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For you have yielded your members and servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now you are your members and servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, become servants to God, you have fruit unto holiness and everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He told Cain, he said, sin lieth at your door. And then if sin lies at your door, the best thing is to stay away from it. But if not, you've got to rule over it. How do you rule over it? Jesus Christ. He's the only hope. If you're caught up in a sin you can't get out of, what's the answer? Jesus Christ. If you're caught up in something you don't know what to do, what's the answer? Jesus Christ. You won't know anything. He's the answer to all problems of the world. You say, well, preacher, that's so easy. How do that? Listen, I'm telling you the best thing I know. I'm telling you the best thing in the world is Jesus Christ. It's the best thing anywhere, and the only cure for the predator we have is Jesus Christ. Without him, that animal is at our door. Every day, he's out there waiting to devour whosoever will walk out and fool with him. You know, you walk out every morning, there's your old dog, and you pat him on the head. Sin's not that way. He don't care about you, care about nothing to do with you. He desires to kill you. He desires to destroy you. He desires to do away with you. What's the solution? We preach a lot about sin. Listen, we could preach all day about sins we have. I have sins, you have sins, we're all sinners saved by grace. There's not one here that gets to escape. I want us to see this morning, Listen, we've got in churches, we've got so politically correct, and we don't want to get our young people's mind all upset and thinking they might be sinners and thinking they might be something negative. We got so correct in this thing. We'll teach our youth, we'll teach our old ones even. Oh, don't worry, honey, you just made a mistake. You didn't make a mistake, you sinned. And when you sin, there must be a confession made, and then God will forgive it. Listen, when you make a mistake, you don't know you're doing it. When you sin, you got the Holy Spirit living inside of you that pricks that heart. It says, boy, don't do it. Don't do it. And then when you go ahead and you willfully sin, that's not a mistake. That's disobedience toward a holy God. That's called sin. May I tell you today that we have a perfect solution. A perfect solution. Hebrews chapter number 10. The Bible tells us of a perfect, holy, nothing better than solution to this problem that we all have. It's amazing. It's a lot of reading, but we got to read it this morning. Because I want you to know the solution. I want you to know that there's a way out of this thing. You're sitting there thinking, well, how in the world do you know that I'm caught up in one? Because you're human. How do you know that I have a problem with sin? Because we all do. We all begin to mess with it just a little bit, thinking we can handle it. Listen to this in Hebrews. I'm going to read through verse 25. They'll put it up there, and you just be patient with me. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which the angel said he at any time, thou art my son, and this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again when he brought his firstborn, first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A specter of righteousness is a specter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish. They shall perish, but thou remainest no, thou shalt wax old. I'm reading chapter 1. Somebody should have spoke up. I was so excited. I thought that don't sound right. We got to start over. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year. Now this makes better sense, don't it? Continually make the comers therefore perfect. Remember that word I told you, a perfect solution? For then will they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. With no sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away thy sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book as is written to me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Thank God for that. By which we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of sin of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, the boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another, provoke one another into good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. He made a sacrifice once for all. Listen, I don't have to worry about today. Is my sacrifice acceptable? The sacrifice, if I've got it in my true heart, if my heart of hearts, at some point God has let me realize I'm a sinner. He has drawn me to Jesus Christ. And through faith I've said, yes, I become as Abel. My sacrifice becomes accepted to God. I don't have to worry. Hey, have I got to do it tomorrow? Have I got to do it the next day? Or I got to do this thing next year. I hope I'm still in the right faith. I still hope I've got this. Listen, the Bible says, according to that scripture I just read you, once blotted out the transgressions of all our life. It don't make any sense to me how he done this. It don't make any sense to me why he would want to do this. All I can tell you is it's grace. Listen, church, we deal with sin every day. You'll wake up tomorrow, and when you walk out the door, that rascal is crouched beside it, ready to pounce, ready to devour, ready to destroy you, ready to destroy your family. You realize, I believe today, one of the things he hates most is a Christian family, is a Christian home. Because he realized something. If you've got a strong Christian home, you've got a strong church. You got a strong church. Hey, you got a strong community. It just keeps going. He has no power over God. But he's crouched and he's ready to devour. Thank God today we have had a perfect sacrifice made for us. Have you come and accepted that with a pure heart? Have you come with your heart, with the very heart of your being? We can't even understand in our minds what our heart is. I began thinking about it yesterday as I was studying and began praying. God, show me the heart, because the Bible tells us even our own heart is deceiving ourselves. Our own heart will deceive us. God knows a true person. And I prayed, God, make sure. God, search out and make sure that I'm right with you. I don't care about anything that I've done, anything that I hadn't done. God, it's only by your blood that I'm made perfect anyway. Make sure I'm coming with the right attitude. Make sure I'm not just showing up on Sunday morning because it's what I'm supposed to do. Make sure I'm coming to honor and glorify a risen, perfect, holy sacrifice named Jesus Christ. Made it once forever. If you've studied much about the Old Testament, you'll realize the Levitical law had to be a sacrifice made. Only the high priest could do it. We know the story about the robe. He'd have bells tied to himself in case he died because nobody else could enter in. He'd enter in, he'd sprinkle that blood upon the mercy seat. And never, of all things you've ever studied about the Holy of Holies, there was not a chair. There was not anywhere to sit down because it was constant, in and out, in and out. If he had a wrong thought in that place, it might have been sinful. Boom, he's dead. In and out. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ made a perfect sacrifice. And he done something that no high priest could ever do. He sat down. After he had made it once for all, it was finished. It was done. It's made. Cannot be done again. Does not need to be done again. It is perfect. He sat down on the right hand of God. He sat down. You know what it means when you sit down? You're resting. The work is finished. This thing was made perfect on Calvary. Your sacrifice was made perfect. I wonder today, do we have some in our midst that have come as Cain did? Lord, I brought you a sacrifice. God, I showed up. I'm here. What else do you want? Hey, I blessed you this morning, God. I walked through the door. I came this morning. I have checked my checklist. Here it is. You got those. I believe Abel walked in with his little sacrifice. It was bloody. His hands were probably bloody where he killed it. Didn't even look up to God. Said, oh, Lord, please accept my sacrifice. God, this is the only way I can be made right with you. God, through faith, I give this to you, knowing that it's enough. It was accepted. I think a lot of times we've got some kind of idea that God needs us. God wants us. He don't need us. His work's going to get done whether I do it or not. This morning, what kind of sacrifice are you bringing? What heart are you bringing that sacrifice with? I realize this, that we all have different things. Life has been tough this week. It has for us. It seems like everything could go as went. I mean, it seems like this one's sick, that one's sick, this is going on, that's going on. It seems like life is just so fast, just here to here to here. Church, it's time that we understand something. That sin is still sin. And there has to be a sacrifice made for it. Even after we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says we need to come, confess that sin, and He's just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What happens if we don't? Are we lost again? No, the Bible teaches against that. No way does the Bible teach that. If we've truly been saved, we are sealed to the day of redemption. But our communication will be hindered. I'm afraid we have people. I'm not just picking on this church. If there was all the churches in America here, I'd preach the same thing. I think we got churches, our members, maybe even pastors, maybe even teachers, maybe even song leaders, maybe anything that makes up church. Deacons, we've got them sitting in our pews every Sunday. They've got that little pet sin, that little pet thing that they just cannot let go of. I read of a pastor the other day. I can't think of his name, and he wouldn't mind you calling it because he's went public with his problem. Pastored churches for 20-something years. Very great pastor. Churches grew. People were saved. The whole time, he was flirting with pornography. It wound up growing and growing. And the animal that was crouched and he was playing with eventually devoured him. Turned into a real affair. Family is split. He's no more a pastor. No longer a pastor. No longer serving God. And now God is using him in another way. He's speaking out against it, of how to overcome it, of how to not get caught up in it, of how to flee from it. God's got a great minister for him now. He's never done with us. Thank God he'll pick us up. Listen, I don't know what you may be dealing with today. We all have something that trips us. I believe Paul did. We talked about this on Wednesday night. The Bible says he had a thorn in the flesh. I believe it was a sin because he says a messenger of Satan buffeted me. You look up the word buffeted in Greek and Hebrew, it means to knock down. Every time Paul would get up, something would knock him back down. We've had that in our own lives, we'll be honest. There's something that'll knock us down. It says Paul prayed to the Lord three times that he had taken away. God told him something. He said, my grace is sufficient. I know God's grace is sufficient for any sin we get caught up in because of that perfect sacrifice. The Bible also teaches us that we should not use grace as an excuse to sin. That's a very dangerous road to be walking. I believe with all my heart that one of God's that's on fire for him gets caught up in this stuff. He gives them opportunity as he did Cain to come back. He gives them opportunity as he did the prodigal son. But I believe if you don't come back, brother, he can take you out. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. If you're dealing with something, get rid of that thing. Don't treat the symptoms. You get the root. If you've got to do away with something in your life, do away with it. Maybe it's a TV. Throw that sucker out the door. Maybe it's something in the refrigerator. Throw it out the door. Whatever it is, you've got to get the root or it'll never be conquered. Just as those spider webs. You killed all the spiders in the house, you'd never have another cobweb. Couldn't happen. Today, we as churches, we think, there's a spiritual web. Let's drag it down. Let's get it out, clean it up so it'll look good to the world. It's time that we get the spider. As we come with a verse of song, thank God for that perfect sacrifice. Because you know what? There's many times that I've came just as Cain did. I've came to just say I was there. I came to feel the thing. And if I look behind the reason I'd done that, I would always see a pattern of sin, of something I had put ahead of God. It had me in that mindset. It had my heart in that place where it couldn't worship God fully. Boy, what example we've been given. These was probably believed, we don't know for certain, was probably the two first born children on earth, Cain and Abel. Some scholars say they may have been twins. I don't know. What I do know is because of sin, not only was he mad at God, not only was he wroth, not only did he go away, but y'all don't know what he did? He killed his brother. Sin ruled over him. He didn't rule over sin. Out of faith, Hebrews says, is why chapter number 11, it says that Abel's sacrifice was accepted by faith. We'll be made right today by faith. It's the only sacrifice you can make to God that He will accept is Jesus Christ. As we stand today, you know your heart and you know your life. You may be here and you've never accepted Him. He's calling to you today. You feel that Spirit of God tugging. I don't care how long you've been in the church, how long you've been a Sunday school teacher, how long you've been doing this and that. I'm not worried about it. Pride will send you to hell. What I'm worried about today is, are you made right with God? Have you brought that perfect sacrifice? Then if we have, are we caught up in a sin? Are we playing with a sin? You can hide it. Nobody will probably ever know. But God knows, and one day this thing will come to light. It will destroy you. You cannot mess with it. You cannot play with it. It's a wild animal. It'll destroy you. As we sing, you be honest with yourself.